Tennessee Waltz. From Memphis to Bristol, from the legislature to the back rooms, barroom banter on all things Tennessee, the finest state in the union. And now to your hosts, Luke Elliott and Duncan Ng.
It's been about 10 years since we've done a podcast. You and I both changed roles at work, and we've been busy with that, but it seems to be slowing down, so we're hoping to get some more stuff out there. How you been doing?
I've been doing all right, Luke. Yeah, you're right. It's been a long time since we've sat down to do one of these, and I hate that, and I feel bad about it for our loyal listeners who constantly ask us when we're coming out with a new episode. So I'm glad we're getting the chance tonight to sit down and give the folks some more good content to listen to.
So today, obviously, it's football season, and we wanted to talk about the Tennessee Titans, and the story is kind of twofold. And so I'm going to let you talk about Adelphia first, which Adelphia was the first name of the stadium. Adelphia Communications paid for the naming rights. So do you want to get into that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Luke. And beforehand, I just want to tell the folks, you know, now that I'm down here on the coast, I root for my Saints for sure. But I grew up as a kid, like most kids in Tennessee do, going to what at that point in time was the Adelphia Coliseum, and then later the Coliseum, and then LP Field, to watch the Tennessee Titans. And I still root for them as long as they're not playing the Saints. So it's definitely a lot of memories there. But
I also need to add, yeah, it's not technically the first stadium because they did play at Vandy for a while. Probably the most people that have ever came to Vanderbilt, because you go to the games and there's like 10 people there. You can't give those tickets away, because Vanderbilt, excuse me to my mother and grandfather and great-grandfather, Vanderbilt, they don't really care about sports. They just like to study and then figure out how to not get good jobs. But anyways, keep going.
Well, I guess we should also add in that our Tennessee Vols whipped the hell out of them earlier this year, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, on to the content tonight. Adelphia Communications was a cable company that was founded in 1952 by a man named John Regas. And John Regas was a first-generation American. His parents had immigrated here from central Greece, and he was born in the 20s, and they grew up very, very poor. He was baptized into the Greek Orthodox Church. They were a very Greek family, culturally speaking. He went on, he served in the Second World War. He came back on the GI Bill, went to college, got an education, and ended up purchasing a movie theater on an overdrawn check. And use that to segue into the cable business. The headquarters of Adelphia were in Mr. Regas's small hometown of Cowdersport, Pennsylvania. And before Adelphia filed for bankruptcy because of scandal in 2002, they were the fifth largest cable company in the United States of America. And so with that, I should say that yes, the reason why Field, which was previously known as the Coliseum, became called the Coliseum instead of the Adelphia Coliseum, is because there was indeed a scandal that we're going to get into, and the company was filed to force for bankruptcy protection. Before I say that, I should say that the Adelphia Communications Corporation has been downsized, but it still is in existence today for the sole purpose of settling accounts and paying off the debts that the court ordered them to pay off after all the litigation was finished with this scandal.
This was kind of during the time of Enron, and they were both using fraudulent accounting, which is much harder to get away with nowadays, but go ahead.
Right, and the reason why it's so much harder is because of companies like these that got away with stealing all the money they did and deceiving shareholders. But anyway, I'll get to that shortly. To talk straight about the scandal, there were four main players involved in the scandal, and it was the CEO, John Regas, his eldest son, Timothy Regas, his youngest son, Michael Regas, and then the company treasurer, who is a close family friend named Michael McCahey. And it's interesting to note that Michael Regas and Michael McCahey actually were acquitted on their charges, whereas John Regas and Timothy Regas actually had to serve prison time. So how did they do this? Basically, what happened was the CEO, John Regas, his sons, and the company treasurer, Michael McCahey, were able to hide $2.3 billion, that's with a B, dollars in company debt. And they would do this through using shell companies that were also owned by the family. By hiding that debt, they were able to inflate how much capital they had and deflate what their expenses were. So it looked like they were making exponential profit margins and amounts of money. On top of all that, they used complex cash management schemes to spread money around to not just shell companies owned by the family, but family-owned entities such as trusts, endowment funds, and things of that nature. By the time it was all said and done, they believed that the Regas family and Mulcahy had stolen approximately $100 million from their company and spent it on personal expenses for themselves.
One of them spent, I can't remember how much, on a lot behind his house because he didn't want to see any houses built on it. I mean, he spent like $15 million, something like that, just so he could have a nice view.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to get into that. But it's important to note, and I should note it here, that the CEO, John Regas, when he testified, he said that he really and truly believed he had done nothing wrong. And I should give the man some credit here and say that when, I forget which hurricane it was, but it was in the late 90s, when it came through and destroyed all of the communication systems that Adelphia had in South Florida, and no one in the company could work because they were trying to rebuild them, he continued to pay every single employee down there full salary. And they loved him and were very loyal to him for that. So he did do a lot of good things, but I'm about to get into some of his insane expenses that he had the company foot the bill for. So I found three major ones. The first one is he had, I believe, a daughter living in New York City, and he picked out two different Christmas trees for her and had them flown in so she could have them at her apartment or home in New York City for a cost of $6,000. That is $6,000 for two trees, which is just wild. On top of that, they purchased 17 different luxury vehicles on company money. And I'm talking about Rolls Royces, Ferraris, that kind of thing, Lamborghinis. And then, to your point, he was worried that his mansion was going to have its beautiful view messed up by development around it. So he decided to purchase roughly 3,500 acres of timberland around his house. And he had it appear on the company books like it was an investment because they could chop the timber and would be able to make money off of it. But this 3,500 acres of property was purchased for a whopping $26 million that was all footed by Adelphia Communications. So, obviously, in 2002, the company was investigated and all four of these characters I've mentioned were put on trial. And the outcome of that was fraud convictions for John Regas, the father, the CEO, and as I mentioned earlier, his eldest son, Timothy Regas. And both of them were sentenced to time in prison. Timothy Regas served 20 years. His father, John, at the time of this trial was 80 years old. Okay, 80 years old. And they sentenced him to 15 years. He ended up only serving 8 years of that because of bad health and terminal cancer. And actually, Mr. Regas, the elder, only passed away about 2 months ago. And fortunately for the youngest son and the treasurer, Michael Regas and Michael McKay, they were acquitted of their charges. But unfortunately for the Regas family, they were assessed $1.5 billion in a settlement. So they were forced to pay out $1.5 billion. So naturally, as you can imagine, this forced the company into bankruptcy. And to this day, it operates under bankruptcy protection laws. They've moved their headquarters to Greenwood Village, Colorado, and have scaled down from the thousands of employees they once had to about 275 employees.
The only reason that company exists is to pay off some of the debt that they still owe.
Right, exactly.
They don't operate as a communications company anymore.
Right. The whole purpose of the employees are basically to administer money to the accounts that they need to be administered to make, to pay off the settlement. And it's interesting, when Adelphia went under, everything that they had in regard to television rights and the like were sold off to Time Warner Cable Sports. They acquired most of the remaining assets, and that actually shut down in 2017. But to kind of segue, when the company was at its height in the 90s, they started buying into sporting adventures, especially the Regas family. People knew the Regases as the owners, but the fact of the matter is Adelphia Communications was the one footing the bill for this. So, for example, the Regas family at one time owned the Buffalo Sabres and all sports broadcasting rights to them. Adelphia owned the broadcasting rights. So that was a huge boon for Buffalo, and the settlement came out and Adelphia went bankrupt. The Sabres went completely under, and it screwed up the economy in the area for quite some time, and some would argue that it's still caught up. So that was their main sports venture. And of course, the other one was the Adelphia Coliseum, which is why this is pertinent to Tennesseans and especially Nashvillians, because in 1999, that's when they purchased the Coliseum, and or at least the naming rights to it, and called it the Adelphia Coliseum. And Adelphia was not a well-known company in Nashville or even in Tennessee at this time. They did have a small presence there, though. And they had a subsidiary called Adelphia Business Solutions, which was a commercial telecommunications provider. And it was basically the only competitor in a lot of areas in Tennessee to Bell South. I think most of us our age, and especially older, remember the days when Bell South controlled everything around here. But in 2002, the Adelphia Communications Corporation missed a payment to maintain their naming rights. And so that's when their name was taken off of the Coliseum, and it, of course, became known as the Coliseum for 4 more years. And then in 2006, it became LP Field, and of course, now it's Nissan Stadium.
Gotta wonder if Nissan will be able to make their payments, because Nissan isn't doing very well as a car company right now.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, they don't succumb to the same fate as Adelphia and wind up with everybody in court, because that's the reason in 2002 why Adelphia missed their payments, is because they were in the midst of that lawsuit. So the home of the Tennessee Titans for several years was owned by a very crooked company. But I should say that I truly believe, in my research into the family, especially John Regas, the elder gentleman, the father of, or the patriarch of the family, I should say, I truly don't believe he thought he was doing anything wrong because it was his company he built from scratch. And to his mind, he had built it so he had the ability to run it however he saw fit. And he deserved to be able to do with it what he wanted. And by all accounts, he was great to his employees. And he gave large sums of money to the Orthodox Church in the area. And was known to be a bit of a philanthropist.
I'm going to stop you right there because I really don't give a damn what he did. Misleading shareholders is a very serious thing. A lot of people put their hard-earned money into that, and they were lied to. And so I have no respect for anybody involved with that. I don't care how much money he gave to the church.
Well, and that's why he's having to pay every nickel of it back. Well, he's not since he has departed from us, but his family is, and they will. So they're definitely going to pay for their crime.
You got to wonder if they would have done things right, would they still have been successful? And I think yes, because they built a brand, which is the hardest part of any business. So if they would have just put their numbers out there honestly and continued to grow in the right way, I think they would have been just fine. But they wanted to be bigger and better, and they wanted it now.
I would agree with you. If they had conducted business honestly, I do think they would still be in business. And I also believe that they would probably be an upper middle of the pack telecommunications company. The thing that propelled them to the fifth largest in the country was the huge surge they got from shareholders, from people investing in the company because of their doctored books. Now, they could have been successful without all of that, but they would have never, in my opinion, become as huge a player as they were. But they would have still been multimillionaires. They just wouldn't, you know, own sporting venues and hockey teams and things of that nature. But like most people in their situation, greed got the better of them.
Yeah, it's like that show, American Greed, and it's a really common thing. You get a little bit of success, you're doing all right, you know, making some money, and then you just want more and more and more. It's like an addiction.
Very much so. I mean, it's the same thing for, you know, Joe Blow and even myself. When we go in the casino, yeah, we may win a couple hundred bucks, but we want to win a couple thousand, you know? So we keep hitting that button on that slot machine or double down on another hand of blackjack. So it's, I think it's almost a, I don't want to say a defect, but a struggle with human nature.
How much did you lose at the casino last weekend?
Last weekend, I think they took me for about 300, 350, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, good job, Duncan. I'm real proud of you.
Hey, but I don't know what
you thought was going to happen.
Well, you know, I got a $150 meal out of it, and I probably drank enough bourbon to mitigate another $100 out of it. So I got my money's worth on them.
Okay. Well, whatever you say. Now, I do want to transition a little bit, and I cannot speak in great detail and as eloquent as this podcast did. But, you know, we're talking about the Titans here, and we're talking about Steve McNair. Many of you know he was killed in 2009 at his mistress's apartment. And
sad day.
It was a sad day. I mean, Steve McNair was a local hero. Those original Titans, Steve McNair, Eddie George, all those guys were heroes. I mean, one of my earliest memories is going to the parade after they came back home after the Super Bowl. Even though they didn't win, everybody was so proud because they had just gotten to Nashville and here they are in the Super Bowl. But, you know, McNair was very charitable. He was a very good father. My brother played sports with his son, and we used to see him at the games and everything. but there's a lot of uncertainty around his death, and the police closed the case really early. There's two theories on this. One theory is that his wife had him killed because he was in the process of changing his will. The other theory is that he had gambling debt and they were, you know, going to take what he had. Now, the weird part about that, the gambling theory, is that a lot of people say he used to gamble out of the box seat. Now, I grew up in the box seat. The box seat is a bar in Green Hills. They've since renamed it to Crow's Nest. But the box seat, you could smoke inside. It was wild and rowdy. My dad used to take us there because that was before you could dial in games. He was a Kansas basketball fan, and so we'd go in there and watch Kansas basketball, which my mother didn't like because I'd come home smelling like cigarettes. But there is a theory that, well, I know they used to run games out of the back room. There's a theory that Steve McNair was in some of those games and he was out. But I've also heard that he wasn't in debt, so I'm not sure about that. Regardless, the case should not have been closed as quickly as it was closed. If you look at the evidence of his mistress that shot him, it doesn't make any sense how she could have done that. You know, she was smaller. And then when he was found dead, all his jewelry was gone, which, why would his fiance take his jewelry before she shot herself?
Right.
Well, there was a police officer on the case that's trying to get it back opened. This isn't some crazy conspiracy theory. I mean, this guy was on Metro Police Force. So that's something interesting to look into. I encourage you all to listen to the Sports Illustrated podcast, The Fall of a Titan. Listen to the whole thing. I can't do as good of a job as they can explaining it, but it's really pretty crazy how the case was closed so quickly. And now the mother won't let Steve's mom see the grandkids. Now, that's just cold. That's just cold.
That's terrible.
You're not going to let your kids see their grandmother. I just can't imagine that. But anyways, I'm going to not talk too much about that because I want you guys to go listen to that podcast, The Fall of a Titan, Sports Illustrated. You can find it on the internet. But anyways, we're going to try to get to y'all more often. I've been in a busy season right now. Duncan's been working pretty hard. He changed roles within his company. So we ain't dead yet. But if Duncan hangs out at the casino every weekend, he may be. So we better get him in before that happens.
Yeah, well, you're right. We have changed roles within our companies, and we've been very busy. And I'm still dealing. I don't think I've done a podcast since I had the fire in my apartment. My apartment caught fire, and I'm still out of pocket from that. Hopefully, that'll be resolved within the next week. And I really look forward to being able to get back to the folks. I miss doing our podcasts. I miss talking about Tennessee history. And I think for the next one, we'll probably do some history from a different southern state, just to be a little more inclusive, since we have such a wide variety of listeners. It's going to be a good time. Just hang in there with us. And I want to give a big shout out and a big thank you to all of our fans who constantly ask us when we're going to do a new podcast, that we need to do a new podcast because they love it. And the folks that tell us that they listen to it with their families and love to have a drink and just sit there and listen to that. We really appreciate that. We're going to try to do better for y'all.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. And anyways, we're going to talk to y'all soon. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. and Merry Christmas. I don't say Happy Holidays. I say Merry Christmas. But anyways, good to speak with you, Duncan, and you behave yourself down there, and I'll try to behave myself over here in Nashville.
Well, Lord, if you'll do your damnedest, I'll do mine, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right.